You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and John Hawksworth.
Hello again, Robert Lee and John Hawksworth here to reflect on the climax to the 2014 Race to Dubai season, and it certainly didn't disappoint, with Henrik Stenson holding off some big names to successfully defend the DP World Tour Championship.
I came here with a purpose, and I've put my mind to trying to give it my all this last week here, and to manage to come through then is very special, and I'm very delighted. I finally got my win, so I'm closing 2014 as a very good season for me.
A very good season for Stenson, but an even better one for Rory McIlroy, last week crowned winner of the 2014 Race to Dubai.
It's very special. You know, the Race to Dubai is something that's very important to the players, and the second time in 3 years as Europe's number one, and I think the youngest to win two European Tour titles or Race to Dubai is something that's quite nice too. So, it's been an incredible few months.
McIlroy actually finished tied second at the Jumeirah Golf Estates alongside Ryder Cup teammate Victor Dubuisson.
I'm very pleased. I played very well the last three rounds. Today, my long game was really, really good. I started to be a little tired last few weeks, and second place here after the season I had, really, really good.
And another Ryder Cup player who shared second spot was Justin Rose. He had a chance to win right up to the last hole.
I felt good about the way I finished. Obviously, I'd love to have birdied 18, love to have not left that putt short, but I mean, at the end of the day, I think this week I was very proud of the way I kept hanging in and I kept coming back.
More from all those gents and others who were in action in Dubai shortly, and also later on we'll tell you who came through the European Tour qualifying school to make it on to next year's Race to Dubai. Good day to you, Jonathan Hawksworth.
Morning.
Yes, it's all very good, isn't it? And a very fine season on the European Tour, capped off by a wonderful week in Dubai.
Yes, it was indeed. And of course, Henrik Stenson defended, which is always nice. First time he's defended a tournament. And he did it in some style, you would have to say, over the last couple of holes, especially his tee shot into 17. But you have to feel a little bit sorry, perhaps, for Rafa Cabrera Bello, who melted like a chuck ice on a sun lounger on a sunny day.
With his double bogeys at 16 and 17.
Yeah, and to be honest, putting looked a little bit tentative. You know, he led by two into the back nine at one stage, but unfortunately, I think it all became a little bit too much for him.
Well, going back to Thursday, Shane Lowry had a very good day. So did Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy, after a long break from the game of golf.
Yes.
An amazing first day. It all looks so easy. 66.
It did look easy, yeah. 6 weeks is a long time, though, isn't it?
To
turn up to an event like that.
Even for him.
Even for him. I know it's quite generous off the tee. It's a nice golf course, but he turned it on. And he turned it on in style, I thought.
Well, he did. 2 66s. Shane Lowry, his fellow countryman, tied him. And then they went out together in the second round. You draw every day, and the best go out last. And those two played in a two ball on Friday.
And didn't he hole in one in that second
round? A nice little hole in one at the 13th. Lucky for some.
Yes, indeed. I rate Shane Lowry highly.
What's good player.
A couple of times. I like the way he swings the club. Doing good to play with Rory. He's played with him before, knows him very well. But, of course, that's the benchmark that you're measuring yourself against, isn't it? So they would enjoy that, two Irishmen playing together.
Yeah, and then in day three, Rory had three birdies in a row on the front nine, but back-to-back doubles on the back nine.
Yeah.
That kind of stunted his growth, really, in terms of the tournament.
Yeah, somebody who'd been playing a bit more, I wouldn't have thought would have made those mistakes back-to-back, if you like. But nevertheless, he kind of stuck in there and still got it round in under par. But it's a lot of shots to chuck away, four in two holes, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And, of course, he then is behind the eight ball, chasing Cabrera Bello and Stenson in that final round, who had a nice little cushion. And for a long part of the day, it looked like a two-horse race.
Yeah, with nine holes to play, there was four shots between them and third place. We were both tied at 16 under. But then, of course, we know that Stenson had a bit of a wobble, didn't he, up 11?
Well, a two-iron out of bounds right at the 11th was a real wide for him.
Oh, that is a long way right.
Yeah, that's an old swing from Henrik Stenson that somehow snuck its way into his game just for a few seconds.
And would be unnerving.
Yeah, it would have been. And then he made a 15-footer for a par at the 12th?
Yeah, he came up just short of 12, chipped up, not great, straight in the middle, and that was huge, really. And then good two putts on 13, the par 3, because he had a very fast putt from there. But, of course, Cabrera Bello had missed on 12. You know, that two-shot lead he had was then gone with the three-footer missed at 12, and then, for me, he started to look very nervous and edgy.
Well, they're both tied at 16 under, playing the 16th, the par 4. Bunkered off the tee was Cabrera Bello. What about his decision to have a crack at that?
Couldn't believe that.
I couldn't believe it.
8-iron, face quite close, pitched into the face about 9 inches from the top, was always going to kill it and spit it right. 9-iron was the club for me there, allowed to come up short.
And 5 doesn't kill him.
And 5 doesn't hurt.
5 doesn't kill him, he stays in it. one behind Stenson with two tricky holes to come, 17 and 18. What was he doing?
But the bigger damage, I think, was mentally for him taking the six. I mean, six is not great, of course, isn't it? It's a double. But what it did to him, because then on 17, found the water again, didn't he?
He missed the target. I mean, he was going for the flag then, missed it by a yard, and goes 20 yards into the water.
Fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think for those chaps who are, you know, it's an exacting pin, and, you know, Henrik Stenson probably went a little closer to the flag than he was trying to, if he's honest, but he hit it to a foot, you know, and it was...
Great shot.
It was a great shot, yeah, it was. Bounced off the edge of the bunker and finished a foot away.
Checked up.
And a yard further left, Cabrera Bayo, because of the double in the previous hole, yeah. You know, mistakes compound mistakes, and it was unfortunate for the Spaniard because he's a really good player. But for Stenson, it's all about taking your chances, John, and he makes that two, and then he knows that he can make five at the last because Rory McIlroy didn't birdie the last, Justin Rose didn't birdie the last, De Buisson birdied the last to tie those two on 14 under, 15 under par on the tee, Henrik Stenson, bad tee shot left, got a great lie. What about the third shot?
Well, I want to go back to Rory's drive first, pitching on the rocks,
yep.
Into perfect position, hit a shock, he's trying to cut it in there, I couldn't see that.
Never
at
was
all.
A cut.
No.
Never was a cut in all its days, that one.
Pin left.
Yeah, it was you know, right edge of the green and a bit of Ali McGraw and it would have been absolutely fine. The fact is that both Rose and McIlroy, yep. Who were in the chase right at the very end, did not birdie the last.
Off tee shots, where really, some people would be thinking, I would have thought Rory would have thought, high draw here, I can make three and win this.
Well, I mean, at least I think for
fade.
Rory with a mid to long iron is give yourself a putt. Anyway, he's quite good.
Yes, he is. It produced an awful lot of drama, but it made it better for Stenson because, as you say, he pulled his tee shot. Then he laid up. That's not an easy layup.
No, good layup.
119, the flag uphill into the breeze, and hit just a pure shot. Flag eye right with a touch of check down the hill. Lovely shot.
It was.
Because anything short with spin was in the water.
That's right, it was. It was a great shot from Henrik Stenson, worthy of a champion. So let's hear from the first golfer to successfully defend the DP World Tour Championship. It's actually his first victory since winning in Dubai 12 months ago. That's amazing in itself. It leaves him second in the final 2014 Race to Dubai standings, and he's very happy about that.
I got off to a great start. I was 3 under for my round after 7 and made some good birdie putts there, but then I stalled a little bit, and then I hit a shocking tee shot on 11 and put it out of bounds there on the right. But a strong par save on 12, and I was hanging about, and then just got off to a great finish here with a 5-iron to a foot on 17, and gave me a one-shot cushion coming up the last, and hit a lovely third shot in there, and gave me the luxury of trickling in the birdie putt. It just makes it that extra bit special when you're winning a tournament where you've got all the top players up there and competing for the win, and to come second after Rory was pretty much the only thing I could achieve during these final series, and I managed to do so, and I'm really happy with that, and I finally got my win, so I'm closing 2014 as a very good season for me.
He sure is. A great way to win, the great tournament to win, the very last event on the European Tour, the DP World Tour Championship. It's his 9th European Tour International Schedule victory in his 297th European Tour event. Beats his previous best 2014 European Tour finish of 2nd in the Volvo World Match Play Championship. His best 2014 European Tour stroke play performance was tied 2nd at the BMW International in Germany. So Henrik Stenson won, but it was one of the men who finished tied 2nd who is the 2014 Race to Dubai champion. That man is Rory McIlroy.
It's very special. You know, the Race to Dubai is something that's very important to the players, and it's one of your main objectives starting out every year. And I'm very proud of how I've played this year. I've won 4 extremely big tournaments, you know, starting with the European Tour's flagship event at Wentworth, which was a real platform for me to go on from this year, and like a stepping stone in a way, and to go on and win 2 majors and a World Golf Championship after that. You know, it's been an incredible few months.
Well, that's his reflection on the year. What about his actual performance in Dubai? His assessment of that final round where he still had a chance to win as he approached the final few holes.
Yeah, birdie on 14 and 15. I thought maybe I'd have a chance, and I saw the guys behind me were making a couple of bogeys, so it gave me a little bit of a boost going into the last few holes, but just wasn't able to quite make the birdies when I needed to. I think given how I've played the last few days, second place finish isn't too bad. I didn't have my best golf at all this week, and at least give myself a chance was nice. You know, it's been a great season in terms of the wins that I've had, but I think these sort of weeks are what I'm very proud of as well, because in seasons gone by, you know, when I haven't played my best golf, it's not a second place finish, it's, you know, you finish down the field. So that's something I'm really excited about going into next year. My level of consistency is much higher, and hopefully that'll give me, you know, a lot more chances to win golf tournaments.
He's going to have a lot more chances to win golf tournaments. What about, did you see the picture he tweeted, John, with the, he was squatting weights on a barbell and, I don't know, it was like a block of flats on each end of the bar.
Oh, yes, I heard about this.
Did you see that?
No, but somebody was telling me it looked an awful lot of weight he had on him.
A colossal amount of weight to try and work his quads and his legs, obviously, to squat that amount of weight up.
Yes, well, he's got a good physique on him now, though, you'd have
to
say.
I think he's got to be careful, though. The only thing that Rory's got to take care of is longevity. He's got all the ingredients, he's got all the bits and pieces, he's more than powerful enough. It's maintenance for him. I wouldn't like to see him get gym obsessed.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got to be careful, like you say, but as long as he's got a big, thick belt on, Rob, a bit like yourself today, his back should be all right.
Well, I tell you what, if he keeps himself fit, the sky's the limit for Rory. He's the new Tiger Woods. He's the guy that puts bums on seats now, Rory.
I totally agree. I'll tell you what, though, he plays more out the fairway than Tiger ever did.
Tiger never drove it in his life like Rory McIlroy drives it. I'm pleased that there's a world number one that's brought the skill and the art of driving back to the fore. It's a flat-out tilt with balance. I mean, what a heady cocktail that is.
Bit like yourself in the head.
Very like myself, although maybe some people might view it and say absolutely nothing like it, and they'd be quite right.
And I'd be one of them.
You'd be one of them. Now, one of the other men who finished with a share of second spot could also have claimed victory on the final hole, but it wasn't just to be. For Justin.
Yeah, I mean, playing 18, I knew I had a good chance. Obviously, my drive got somewhat lucky, you know, stayed up out of the hazard by, you know, a couple yards, and then I had a good three wood into the green, and just a very difficult shot in there. You know, if you pull it half a yard, it's going to be left in the water, and, you know, you bail out a little bit to the right. And I was a little surprised at how difficult my pitch shot was, actually. And, you know, the water was in play with my third shot. If I didn't hit a half decent shot there, it would have rolled down into the water. So, but that's, you know, it's a good par five. It tests you. But, yeah, all in all, lots of positives and a good week. But when you come up, you know, one shy, it's a little bit like, you know, Shanghai, where I had a good chance there as well after a poor start. But at least it tells me I'm playing well and getting myself into contention. And, you know, it's never easy to win every time you're in contention, but you've got to keep putting yourself there, and that's what I'm doing. You know, it's been a year with a win in it. You know, as long as you keep notching up victories every year, and, you know, next year my goal is to play a bit better in the majors and the world events, and that's a great way to do well in the European Tour. So it's been a fun year, all in all.
Yeah, Justin Rose is certainly one of the world's top players, no doubt about that. And the other player who finished tied second was, we call him, the breath of fresh air, France's Victor Dubuisson. Here's his assessment of that final round and his year, in which he earned 8 top 10 finishes.
I'm very pleased. I played very well the last 3 rounds. Today, my long game was really, really good. In second place here, after the season I had, I started to be a little tired this last few weeks, so really, really good. It's been a great year, same as last year. You know, when you have a good few months like I had last season, you know what you're afraid of is to don't keep doing well. And, you know, people are always expecting a lot from you. And you don't want it just to be a few months of good golf. So I did another good season, and I hope I can do the same next year.
Justin Rose, first of all. John, what can he achieve next year?
I mean, he's won a major before, hasn't he? He's such a good player. He's suddenly sprung to life in this tournament. He's capable of doing it in any major next year. I mean, that's what they measure themselves on now. He's had a major, hasn't he? He wants more of them. I think he'll have a big season. It's how he comes out the blocks early, I think.
He's done well, you know, the last few tournaments, big ones in the final series. He's had terrible starts and come back to almost where he could win the event.
Yeah, and yesterday he threw 3 birdies in the middle of the back 9, which put him right in it.
Yeah.
Had he birdied the last, obviously then Stenson would have needed 4 to win, which would have made it completely different. But there's a few guys can say that. But no, he swings a club very well now, I think.
Well, another person who can say that is Victor Dubuisson. The breath of fresh air, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I like watching Victor. He's very much his own man, isn't he? But, boy, has he got a golf game. That bunker shot he hit at 18 was just
phenomenal, wasn't it?
Fantastic, because I tell you what, you get that a hair wrong, it's into the face or over the green.
Oh, it was, I mean, it was a hero or zero shot, wasn't it? The way he played it.
And checked it up right by
the flag. So much confidence.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely. And, of course, he's brilliant in the Ryder Cup as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if he challenges for a major next year, Victor.
Yeah, and finishing alone in fifth place was Shane Lowry. Shot of the tournament for him came on Friday. That hole-in-one that John mentioned at the 13th. He actually ends the year at number 10 in the Race to Dubai standings and inside the world's top 50, which crucially secures him a place at the Masters in April. A fantastic year for the Irishman.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's by far my best season, and you know, it was nice to finish it with a 66, and I'm going to finish top 15 in the Race to Dubai are quite close. And yeah, it's been a great year. It's been a lot of ups and a lot of downs as usual, but you know, thankfully the highs were a lot better than the lows this year.
Isn't it amazing that if you take yourself back to the spring, before he played the BMW PGA Championship, where he finished second to Rory,
yeah,
he was having a terrible season.
Yeah, he was, yeah. And I watched a bit of him in Abu Dhabi, actually, and he looked to be swinging the club well and hit the ball nicely, but obviously if the confidence is down, which it must have been, and then he goes to Wentworth and played superbly well, and then since then, he's just been brilliant, hasn't he?
He's been really good, yeah. Good player, Shane Lowry. Lovely natural player as well.
Oh, very nice. Moves onto the ball lovely and just squeezes it.
Now, our final player reaction of the 2014 season comes from those who finished in a tie for sixth. In a moment, you'll hear from Tyrrell Hatton after his first year on the European Tour from Robert Carlsen. But first, here's Louis Oosthuizen.
You know, the whole week has been not the best performance on the greens. It's a bit disappointing that I didn't make many putts the first 3 days, and today I made a few. But yeah, all in all, you know, good finish to the season, and hopefully can take a lot of positives out of this week.
Obviously, very disappointing ending the way I did. I had a good chance on 17, I hit a great putt, and the way I hit the first putt on 18 was good as well, and kind of lost a bit on the last one. But there we go. It's obviously never fun done that way, but I played good and happy with progress in general.
Obviously, it's been a great week. Slightly disappointed with how today went, to be perfectly honest, but it's just been a great year. Couldn't have wished for a year like this, to be honest, as a rookie. And I'll go home and have a very nice Christmas.
Indeed. Enjoy your Christmas, Tyrrell. It has been a good year. Now, tips from last week. Ewan Murray went for Henrik Stenson. He was very sure about Henrik being the winner. So sure that, in fact, he said he could predict the man who would come second. Brooks Koepka, the winner in Turkey. Of course, he doesn't know very well. 42nd in the end. But the important thing is that Ewan got the win. I went for Alex Levee, who finished tied 26th. And Westwood, to finish second, tied 47th. So it wasn't the event that Lee was looking forward to, or me, in fact. Now, John, can we please have the final top 11 on the leaderboard at the 2014 DP World Tour Championship, please?
Right, well, let's start with 11th. It was Jaus Luyten, then it goes Brandon Grace, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Louis Oosthuizen, Robert Carlsen, Tyrrell Hatton, then 5th on his own, Shane Lowry, 2nd tied Justin Rose, Rory McIlroy, Victor Dubuisson, and of course we know the champion, much deserved, Henrik Stenson.
Now, because it's the final event to close out the season, let's have the top 15 standings on the Race to Dubai.
Which of course is a bonus pull. Well, we know Rory won it comfortably from Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose 3rd, Jamie Donaldson, great year, 4th, Dubuisson finished in 5th place, Sergio Garcia 6th, Marcel Seam, brilliant end to the season, 7th, Brooks Koepka, another great end to the season, 8th, Alexander Levee is in 9th, Shane Lowry 10th, Jaus Luyten 11th, Thomas Bjorn 12th, Ian Poulter got himself up into 13th, brilliant performance. 14th was Graham McDowell, and of course the US Open champion Martin Cameron 15th.
Any other finishes you'd like to highlight in the top 50 or 60 there, John?
Well, I think Tommy Fleetwood had a very good season, got himself up to 19th. Nice to see, amazingly, at 50 years of age, Miguel Angel Jimenez finished 21st. One or two other that I will pick out who hasn't had the best of years, Luke Donald in 50th. Hopefully we're going to go and see better playing from him next year. Eddie Pepperell had a very good year. He finished 49th. Richard Bland, who's kind of been around for a long time, they call him the journeyman on tour. He's not one. He's 66th, so he was nice and safe. And then players a little bit further down, look out for Thomas Peters next year. I think he's going to have a big year.
Yeah, very, very talented young Belgian player. Impressive indeed, he really is. What about those who lost their card? We've completed the school. Who sort of dropped out?
Well, 1-1-1, which was the place you didn't want to be. Anthony Wall was last man standing, if you like, at 110. And then Lee Slattery, unfortunately, missed his card and didn't get it back at the tour school. David Lynn was 1-1-2, but of course he's exempt because he won the Portugal Masters back in 2000 and... Was it 13?
13.
Yeah, 13, so he's okay. But other guys that have gone, I'm afraid, Ricardo Santos, Paul Laurie, of course the 99 Open champion, he's exempt out on the tour. Andrea Pavan, who won the Challenge Tour rankings back in 2013, he finished 1-1-9, but I can tell you he got his card back at the tour school.
Yeah, very good.
Which is pretty good. And then a little bit further down, the likes of Stuart Manley, Gareth May, they would have to go back to the tour school, and a lot of players have struggled throughout the year, and it's Ricardo Gonzalez lost his card but did something heroic earlier in the year, didn't he, because he waited with Fabrizio Zanotti after he got thumped on the head by a driver in Holland, and I can tell you he got his card back.
Well, we'll get on to the Q school a little bit later, John. What about the world rankings? Top 10 festooned with Europeans.
It is indeed, but Kuchar's at number 10, Fowler at number 9, that's Ricky Fowler, Jason Day at number 8, Justin Rose at number 7, Jim Furyk amazingly at number 6, Sergio Garcia at number 5, Bubba Watson at number 4, Adam Scott at number 3, Henrik Stenson at number 2, and another European, Rory McIlroy at number 1.
I'm just doing a quick ready reckoner in my head. Can you confirm this? Have we as many Europeans in the top 10 as there are Americans?
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, and Americans we have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you very much. That's 4 all. That's pretty impressive. It really is for the European tour.
Jason Day, the Australian, and Adam Scott, the Australian.
That's right, mate. But the world rankings aren't done and dusted for the year yet because we still have a few tournaments to play around the world, including this week's Australian Open, John, where 3 places are also up for grabs at the same time for next year's Open Championship at St Andrews.
Interesting.
Yes.
Rory defends.
It's like an international qualifier.
Yes.
But it's quite good what they do now with Open qualifying, so players from far-flung places can take part in the tournament. They know also there, if they play really well, they get straight into the Open. It's a good way to do it.
Then bring them over.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course it is, yeah. And have a couple of other qualifying sets. And then, of course, we have one at Sunningdale, don't we, for the European
International
Tour.
Qualifier.
International qualifier. But they go on in South Africa, Australia, don't they? Japan, I think they go on as well. So everybody has a chance to try and what a place to play the Open. I've played 2, though. It's just the best place ever.
What about Marbells in the evening?
Marbells?
It's always packed out with golfers, yeah. There's a little bar there, just not far from the 18th green, called Marbells.
Oh, no, I didn't go in there.
Did you not go in there?
No.
I would have thought you'd have sort of seen the lights and had the allure.
Well, don't worry, I'll be there next year.
You'll be there next year, excellent. Now, some other news to bring you. Ricky Fowler has confirmed his participation in next year's Irish Open at Royal County Down in May. The event is being sponsored by the Rory Foundation, which supports children's charities around the world. And McIlroy said, "I think Ricky's decision to play demonstrates the international appeal of Ireland's top courses and confirms why we are keen for the Irish Open to showcase them." Hear, hear. Don't you agree?
The Irish Open was one of the best tournaments ever to play in on the European Tour. It's just fantastic. The fans are amazing and the courses are normally brilliant. And I think it's a good addition that Ricky Fowler's going over there. Maybe he'll be looking for a bit of revenge on Rory.
The crowds will be huge again. They were at Portrush.
It's just incredible how they turn out and how they love the golf.
Yeah, and I think Ricky Fowler will be a big draw there as well.
Oh, he will.
Yeah. Tremendous season in the majors this year, John.
Yeah, he had a tremendous season.
He had a Grand Slam of fifth or better place finishes in the majors. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, he's going through a few swing changes as well, isn't he, still, with Butch Harmon. You know, he's trying to change his backswing, and I don't know how he competes at the level he does.
I think his swing changes are done.
Well, they may well be done, but he's only won once on the PGA Tour, hasn't he? He needs to press on with the prawns.
I'm having him for a breakthrough season in terms of being more of a winner this year, 2015, coming up on the PGA Tour.
So you're having him to win
at least two.
At least two?
Yeah, at least twice.
Okay.
So we'll see, because that's the one thing that's kind of missing is more W's, as they say. Now, the schedule for next year's Race to Dubai season has been released. You've got it there, John. What's happening? What's going to happen?
Yeah, well, it kicks off with the Nedbank next week down in South Africa, but there's a couple of new tournaments early in February, the Thailand Classic and the Hero Indian Open, which are back-to-back in February. There's another one later in the end of July, beginning of August, which is the Soltar Energy Paul Laurie Match Play at Merkur Links in Aberdeen. That'll be a fantastic event. And nice to see that the European Open's back, which is going to be held in Germany, and that's in September.
What course is that, John? Where's it been held?
That's at the Bad Griesbach, and there's only 1 week that's to be what they called confirmed, and I think the World Match Play will slip into there. So it's a very full calendar right from the start of December through to the end of November in 2015. I can't wait for it.
One of those competing next year will be Mikko Korhonen. Last week, he became the first Finnish winner in the history of the European Tour qualifying school, which is a 6-round marathon of golf. The 34-year-old finished 2 shots clear of the Argentine Ricardo Gonzalez on 20 under par, as John mentioned earlier, got his car back, courtesy of a 5 under par final round of 67. The win means he's qualified from Q School for 3 years running. That's quite a feat, John.
It is quite a feat, and he's been 12 times to the tour school. I tell you who rated him very highly. Paul McGinley played with him somewhere and was amazed that he'd lost his card. But he's got it back now.
It's tough out there, isn't it?
Oh, it is tough out there. You know, Philip Price and I don't think Kenneth Ferry even made the cut at the tour
school. Well, Lee Slattery didn't get his card back, did he?
And
he
Nick finished. Doherty, you know, he's a 3-time winner. But there were some good performances. There's a guy here, Renato Paratore from Italy, who's a teenager, came through all 3 stages. There was only 2 people came through all 3 stages. And I'm going to highlight one other here. Tom Murray is the son of Andrew Murray.
That's right, former European Open champion.
He's got his card, opened with a 76, and you would have thought, well, he'd be out of it, but oh no, he went 64, 63, 73, 72, 70, and slipped in nicely by 3 shots.
Well, a total of 27 players from 12 different countries earned their cards for the 2015 Race to Dubai. It's also worth mentioning, John, that American John Hahn, who lost his car, went to the school, had a 58 during his rounds, during his 6 rounds, still didn't get his card. It doesn't count as a sub-60 because they were placing, but still, an amazing round of golf, and what a pity.
He shot 58 on the other other golf course and then followed it up with a 78. Did you ever do that, 20 shots more the next day?
No, but I can tell you that my best score and my worst score are 29 shots between them.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
But yeah, unfortunately, no, he didn't get through John Hahn, and in the end, he finished down, quite a long way down. He missed out in the end by finished on 2 under, and when you think that 7 under... got its card. He was out by 5, but to shoot 58, I don't care what golf course you're on.
My producer's just screamed in my ear, 29? How can it be 29 difference? Well, 61 was my best score on tour, and 90 was my worst. And funnily enough, I had two of each of them. Two 90s and two 61s.
Well, if I had a mackerel in my pocket, I'd throw you here.
Thank you very much. So, John, we're nearly finished for this week. Next week, Richard Boxall is in the seat to help me look back at the detail of the 2014 Race to Dubai season. But what's been your highlight of the year?
I think Rory's two majors, Martin Kaymer's win at the US Open, the Ryder Cup.
Martin Kaymer at the Players.
Yeah, Martin Kaymer at the Players. And finally, Henrik Stenson retaining the DP World Championship.
That's a pretty good pricey. You got them all in there. Well done. That's it from us for now. Many congratulations to Henrik Stenson for his commanding victory at the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. As mentioned, Richard Boxall and myself will be back next week to review the 2014 season, when we'll also be joined by Q School graduate Mikko Korhonen and hear from Brooks Koepka, plus outgoing European Tour Chief Executive George O'Grady. We'll also preview the first event of the 2015 Race to Dubai, the Nedbank Golf Challenge in Sun City. So do join us. Until then,
keep your head down.
That's good chip from John. Goodbye.